Grab your Bibles with me, and let's see. Let's start in Luke. Let's start in Luke 18. Luke 18 tonight. I'm going to ask you if you're physically able to stand with me one last time. Let me read a few verses. Luke 18, beginning in verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. Boy, how did he get elected, huh? I think maybe some corruption there, man. There was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Amen. Hell hath no fury like a widow scorned.
Amen.
Oh, and the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. Shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? That's a key verse. Of course God's going to make things right for his people.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
Of course. I mean, Jesus doesn't even answer the question because it's so obvious. Of course God is going to avenge his own elect. But notice, they cried day and night unto him. He bears long with them. In other words, it doesn't happen right away as soon as you ask for it, just like the widow. I tell you in verse 8 that he will avenge them speedily. That doesn't mean soon. What that means is quickly. I mean, when he does avenge them, it's going to be like a lightning bolt.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, look in verse 8, the last part of the verse. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?
Yeah.
Let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you for the Bible. Now please, God, help me be a strength and a blessing to your people. Pour out your Spirit, I pray. Fill me, control my thoughts, my heart, my mind, my lips, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Jesus, of course, is well aware of what's going on in his day when he was on the face of the earth walking. But when he says this in verse 18, he's talking about when the Son of Man cometh back. Because
yes.
He was already there.
Right.
He said, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? The question is pretty serious there in the fact that he is saying, again, he doesn't answer the question. He's just saying, he says, look at this widow, men. He's talking to his disciples. Look at this widow, men, and look at how God blessed her. And of course, it's just a parable. It's not a real story. But he's using a parable to teach us a heavenly truth that God is going to avenge his own elect. That, listen, God will make the crooked things straight.
Amen.
God is going to make the crooked things straight for his people. But notice there's a crying day and night. This widow has a continual coming to that judge. Jesus is making a point here that prayer requires real faith.
That's right. Amen.
Prayer, listen, let me say it this way. Prayer is a lesson in faith.
Right.
So if it's a lesson in faith, you cannot expect it to get answered every single time you ask it right away.
That's right, right.
Because then you won't learn a thing.
Amen. Amen.
You will not learn a thing.
Amen.
See, this woman was an example to you and me of faith. This woman was an example to his Jesus' disciples of faith. This woman was used, but then he uses that example to teach them that faith is what's going to be lacking when he comes back. Because think about what he's saying. When he comes back, it's going to be thousands of years later.
Yeah.
And the scoffers and the scoffers and the mockers and the scorners and the gainsayers and those, the doubters and all of the atheists and all of the fools who say in their heart there is no God. Listen, I promise you they're saying that because they have lost belief in God's existence because they just gave up.
Yeah, that's right.
Nobody's born an atheist. There's no such thing as an atheist. Right. But nobody's born that way.
That's right.
Just like nobody's born a sodomite, nobody's born a drug addict, nobody's born an alcoholic. It's not a disease. It's a sin addiction. But the fact, what I'm trying to say to you is this, the same thing, the same exact principle goes there, that nobody's born an atheist. The problem is, somewhere along the way, they just gave up.
Yeah, that's right.
And now Jesus told us about it thousands of years ago. When I come back, he says, am I going to find any faith
on
the earth?
Help us,
amen.
Makes you wonder. He didn't say love.
Yeah, that's right.
He didn't say soul winning. He didn't say Bible reading. He didn't even say prayer. He said faith.
Yeah.
Because faith is what backs up all of those other things.
Amen. Amen.
Faith is the foundation of your Christian life. Faith is the foundation of your Christian life. And if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do?
Yeah, that's right.
Come on, preacher.
I've been preaching to you now. Last Wednesday I started, and again on Sunday night, about Jesus is better than the wilderness. And I'm still on that thought here tonight, because faith is what's lacking when someone lives in the wilderness. Faith is the problem when they just did not believe God. But we have to understand, it's nothing new. It's nothing surprising to the Lord. And Jesus himself said, I wonder, and now, it's a rhetorical question. He knows if he's going to find. But I believe what he's saying here in Luke 18:8 is that he's going to find very little faith compared to what he should find when he does come back.
Amen. Yeah, that's right. Yes, sir. Come on.
Turn with me over to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. I'm still talking about Jesus being better than the wilderness, and I may get back to Hebrews, or I may not. Probably not tonight, but anyway, it's there for another day. But the reason that people don't follow Jesus is because they just don't believe that he really is going to make a difference.
That's right.
They just don't want to. But it's because, listen, think about it. You do what you want to do.
Yeah.
Let's just stop for a minute. You do what you want to do.
Yeah, that's right.
And God's given us that choice. And I thank God for it. But God's given us the free will to choose what we want to do. You are not an animal. You do not do things just because you just because you have to, or just because it's what's natural to you. You have choices. We are not animals.
Amen.
We do what we do by choice.
That's right.
Now, what I'm saying to you tonight is this. People that don't follow the Lord, or people that fall out on following the Lord, is because somewhere along the way, they believed that it wasn't worth it, so they chose something different.
Yeah, that's right.
They believed that it wasn't working out. It wasn't. Now, think about this. If God came, and as soon as you got saved, and he made you everything that you ever wanted to be, like a genie in a bottle, he would probably have a lot more people in church right now.
Yeah, come on, that's right.
Right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
He would probably have, at least they would at least start out in church. Because they'd be thankful. Wow, look what God did for me. And but that's a selfish nature that we have, where we trust God as long as He does what we want Him to do.
Yeah.
That's not what faith is. That's not faith. Faith is I believe God.
Yeah.
Period. If He wants to do it this way, then that's great. If He wants to do it another way, then that's perfectly fine, because I am trusting Him. I believe who He is. I trust Him to be faithful. I trust Him to never fail me. He can do what He will with my life. He can treat me nice or He can treat me terrible. But the fact that He knows what's best.
Amen. Amen.
And this is not easy for me to say and preach, but we have got to get a hold of this thing, because good days come and good days go, and bad days come and bad days go, but God never changes. Our faith is not based on circumstances. It cannot be, or you are a very immature Christian. Now, everybody starts out that way. Everybody starts out that way.
That's right.
The Bible talks about being a babe in Christ.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, a baby just looks for what it can get. I mean, that's all it knows.
Yeah.
Right? Feed me. Oh, I'm happy now. Change me. Change my diaper. Oh, I'm happy now. Whatever you do for the baby, I'm happy now. Well, we all start that way.
Yeah.
But we're supposed to add to our faith.
Amen.
That's right.
Come on.
We're supposed to be wiser in the latter end.
Yeah.
We're supposed to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Yeah, come on.
And faith is what grows when I begin to realize that it's not about what God is going to do for me, it's about what He's already done.
That's right.
Amen.
It's about what He did on Calvary.
Amen.
If he never did another thing for me, how could I ever turn my back on Him?
Come on, preach
first.
Amen.
Think about what I just said. If He never did another thing for me, how dare I turn my back on the one who shed His blood for the cleansing of my wicked soul? Faith is not about what He can do for me. It's about who He is based on what He's already done for me. If He's already done it for me, then listen, I can trust Him that He loves me enough to give me what I need.
Absolutely.
God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son.
Amen.
Now you tell me, according to Romans chapter 3, there is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God.
Yeah,
that's right.
So nobody, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Yeah.
So nobody was sitting around praying for Jesus to save them.
Yeah, that's right, brother.
Praying for Jesus to die for them. Nobody was, dearly beloved. Nobody was seeking after God. Nobody was thinking, oh, this, you know what I need? I need Jesus to die for me. I need someone to pay for my sin. Nobody.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
Come on.
You know what they wanted? They wanted Jesus, well, they wanted God to give them what they wanted.
Sure.
Yeah, amen.
They wanted God to give them what they wanted.
That's right.
If they wanted this, and then they're going to find a God that can give them that. If they wanted this money, or if they wanted this immorality, or if they wanted this business, or this money, whatever they were chasing after, that's why there's about 1,000 different gods in Hinduism.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Whatever you're chasing after, Catholicism has saint this for that, and saint this for that, and saint this for that, and saint this for that. Why? Because they're just looking for what they can get.
Yeah, come on.
That's not faith.
Help us. Come on. Help us.
Faith is simply believing that God is.
That's right. Amen.
And that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him.
Absolutely.
He rewards those who seek Him.
That's right.
Not those who seek rewards.
Come on.
He rewards them because He loves them. But you know what He rewards them with? He rewards them with what they need.
Amen.
That's right, preacher. Amen.
When God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. That wasn't what everybody was clamoring for, but that's what we needed.
Amen.
Yeah,
right.
Come on. Amen.
Think about it.
Amen.
We didn't even know we needed it.
Yeah, come on.
That's right.
We didn't know we needed it.
That's right.
God gave us a Bible. You didn't know you needed a Bible.
Come on.
Nobody was praying for a Bible. God gave us the Bible.
Yeah, amen. Come on. Right. Amen.
God gave us the church.
That's right. Amen. Hallelujah.
We didn't. You realize in the Old Testament they didn't have a church.
Yeah.
That's right.
We didn't know we needed a church.
Yeah, come on.
Now we do.
Right.
Now we know we need a Bible. Now we know we need Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Now we know we need Jesus. Now we know we need to be saved. But we didn't know that until God gave us what we needed. And now out of love and gratitude, we say, thank you, Lord, for giving me what I needed.
Yeah.
And now I'm different. Now my heart's desire is what He wants me to have. That's faith.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
That's faith.
That's right. Amen.
Faith is not just trying to make something happen because you want it to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Come on.
Romans chapter 4, look in verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace. To the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Now wait a minute, look what we just said here. God quickens the dead. That means He makes the dead alive. Okay? And He calls those things which be not as though they were. You see, God tells us things that God speaks of things that have not happened yet in the book of Revelation and others, but God speaks of things that have not happened yet as though they were. As though they already had. And what is that? We believe this book because we believe God.
Amen. Yeah.
That's right. Faith.
Come on.
We don't believe this book because we get what we want.
Yeah.
We believe this book because we believe God. Because we can look at the fulfilled prophecies in the Old Testament. We can look at Jesus' birth and Jesus' life and Jesus and all of the different prophecies in the Old Testament, and they all came true and they all came to pass in the birth, the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Every one of them.
Yeah. Amen.
And there's more that relate to the kingdom that's still to come.
Yes, amen.
Which is future. And God speaks of things that are not as though they were.
Yep.
Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Yeah. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
That's right. Amen. Come on.
And without faith, it's impossible to please God.
Yes, amen.
Impossible.
That's right.
Look in verse 18. And now we're speaking of Abraham here, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being, notice in verse 19, and being not weak in faith. There's a problem with weak faith.
Right.
Weak faith is a weak Christian.
Yeah.
You understand? Weak faith is a weak Christian. When it comes time for Satan to tempt people, he looks for those that are weak in faith.
Yeah,
that's right. Come on.
I pray for thee that thy faith fail not. Mm-hmm. He said, "When being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old. Now, whoa. He was weak physically, but he wasn't weak in his faith. Neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Look in verse 20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith." I've got those three words underlined in my Bible. Strong in faith. Now, look what it says. Let's read on here and I'll talk about it in a minute. Giving glory to God. This is the definition in verse 21 of faith. And being fully persuaded What he had promised, he was able also to perform.
Yeah.
There it is. That's the definition of faith.
Amen.
Being fully persuaded, where there's no more wavering. That's what it means to be strong in faith.
Yeah.
Being fully persuaded. Completely convinced, you put it that way, completely convinced, where it doesn't matter what you say, it doesn't matter what you think, it doesn't matter what I see, I am fully persuaded. Notice that he, what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And this, his faith didn't happen because God had performed it.
That's right.
His faith was that God was able.
Yeah.
That's right.
To perform it.
Yep.
His persuasion wasn't that, oh yeah, look, we've got the miracle seed Isaac. They did not have the miracle seed Isaac yet. Mm-hmm. His faith was not that God had already done it.
Mm-hmm.
Any dummy can believe that.
Mm. Come on, preach.
Amen?
Amen.
Faith is when I'm fully persuaded that even though he hasn't done it yet, I know he is able to keep his word.
Yes.
That's faith.
Absolutely.
Because my faith is not rested on what he's done, but he is able.
Yes.
Who he is.
Amen.
Who he is.
Amen.
See, that's why this drawing near to God is what we're lacking.
That's right.
Because we don't draw near to God just because we are fully persuaded that He's able. What we do is we draw near to God when we find ourselves in a 911 emergency. We draw near to God when we want to say, thank you, God, for doing everything that I wanted you to do. But yet when things are sour, when things are south, when things are not going like I wanted them to, when I've got myself in a wreck of a train wreck of a life, and all of a sudden God's got, I'm blaming God for everything, then I don't want to draw near to God. I don't want to go to church. I don't want to read my Bible. I don't want to pray. I don't even want to. I'm an atheist.
Yeah. Come on.
Yeah, pray. Come on.
Faith is being fully persuaded that what he has promised, he is able.
Amen.
That's right.
Period.
Amen.
If he said it, I don't believe the words. I believe the God of the word. Therefore, I know his words are golden.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, sorry. I'll get silver in there somewhere. But let's read on here. I'm now I just made some enemies. Verse 22. Therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. That's salvation, by the way. That's salvation. It was when Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him or imputed to him for righteousness. Now, it's not written in verse 23, for his sake alone, that it was imputed to him, but for us also. You see that?
Amen.
To whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses, was raised again for our justification. Here's what I'm trying to say. That is us looking back at Abraham's life. That is how Abraham got saved. That is how anybody who is saved tonight, that's how they got saved. They believe that he is able. They were fully persuaded that he is able to keep that which he had promised. And my salvation is not based on anything other than God and his person and his power.
Amen, preacher. That's right.
You understand? So, quickly, faith gets God's grace involved in my life.
Amen.
Look back in verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace.
Amen.
For by grace are you saved, but only through faith.
That's right.
And dearly beloved, listen to me. If you're going to enjoy the grace of God in anything else in your life,
that's right.
It's only going to be through faith.
That's right. Huh. It may be for you.
That's right.
It's, in other words, God's grace is what we need not just for salvation, you understand, yeah, but God's grace to give us strength to get us through every day of this old rotten world, God's grace to be faithful to Him, God's grace to be loyal to Him, God's grace to be right and stay and keep our hearts right, God's grace to forgive people that we don't like, God's grace to love people that we can't look at, God's grace to do what's always right no matter how we feel. That's we need God's grace. It's not just for salvation, but it's for every day of our lives.
Yes.
And but it's only available through faith.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen. Amen.
You remember 2 Corinthians chapter 12? Oh, let's go ahead. Look over there with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Faith gets God's grace involved in my life. That's how I got saved, you understand? That's how I got saved, but also for the rest of my life. Yep. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. Now, notice how he says that. There was given to me. This was a gift. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you for that wonderful gift. Now, we don't mind thanking God for the gift of salvation. By grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So was this.
Come on.
So was this thorn in his flesh.
Yeah.
Come on.
Are you following me now? So was this thorn in his flesh.
Yeah.
It didn't come because Paul was in sin. It didn't come because Paul was unfaithful. He wasn't reaping what he was sowing. It was simply a matter of God not letting him be exalted above measure. God not letting Paul's head get too big for his turban. Are you listening to me? It was given to him as much of a gift as salvation was.
Come on, preacher.
Why? Keep him humble.
Right.
Yeah.
You see, God didn't give him what he wanted.
Yeah. Right.
God gave him what he needed.
Yeah.
Amen. That's right.
Now, at that point, Paul had to make a decision.
Yeah.
Because remember, he prayed. He did what everybody else would do. Oh, Lord, take this thorn from me. Oh, God, help me. Heal me.
Yeah.
Heal me. By the way, this is another proof that there's no such thing as divine healers.
Amen.
It's a bunch of garbage. If there was divine healers, why didn't Paul heal himself?
Yeah, come on.
Why didn't Timothy go lay hands on him and heal him? That's a bunch of garbage. Yeah. Only God heals.
That's right.
He said, Lord, take this thing from me. And God finally said, he didn't. He only gave him two times. And the third time he said, no. He said, what did he say? My grace. God's grace, my grace is sufficient for thee. Now, what God was saying to Paul was this: I'll get you through this with my grace. But wait a minute now, that wasn't the end of the story. He told him there in verse 9, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength, God's strength, is made perfect in weakness, in my weakness. But then, look, here's where the faith kicked in. Most gladly, therefore.
Well, come on.
When's the last time you were glad that you were in agonizing pain?
Come on, man.
When's the last time you thanked God for the pain that you're probably, some of you are feeling right now?
Yeah, come on.
You know what? If God doesn't take it away, it's because you need it.
Yeah.
Now, it doesn't mean that He'll never take it away.
Amen.
You do get to go to heaven.
Amen.
It'll be gone then. But He could take it away later. But for right now, He may say, you know, you need that.
Yep.
You need that. Paul needed that. Paul I mean, the Apostle Paul, the man of God that all of us would like, oh, wow, look at Paul. You know, he was not a physical specimen. He was not anything to really look at physically. He couldn't even speak very well. He couldn't see very well. He was short. He was feeble and frail. And he had a whole lot of pain in his body. Not to mention all the beatings and the stonings and all of the things that he went through. But God said, I'm not taking that away, Paul. I'm going to give you my grace. But here's the thing. Paul had to decide to gladly, therefore, accept that grace.
Yeah.
Yep, that's right. Yeah.
He had to gladly, therefore, decide that he would accept and receive the grace, not what he wanted, what he needed.
Amen.
Yeah.
Are y'all with me tonight?
Amen, brother.
Yes,
what he needed was God's grace, God's strength, but he wanted, listen, his own strength.
That's right.
Yeah.
He wanted his own health.
Yeah. Yeah.
But instead God said, no, what you need, son, is my strength.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
My health.
Come on.
My grace.
That's right.
You know, when you were a kid, if you had a parent that halfway loved you, they didn't give you everything you asked for.
Yeah.
Now, nowadays they do.
Yeah, amen.
But, of course, our society is an upside down mess. But when you were growing up, when I was growing up, I didn't get everything I asked for. Are you kidding me?
Amen.
Well, you know, Samuel doesn't get everything he asked for.
Amen.
Miss Falk doesn't even get everything she asked for. Yeah, she didn't hear that. But I mean, why? Because love and wisdom would say, you think you want that, but you know, if you want that 22 rifle, I need to see that you're a little more mature before I give it to you.
Right. Amen.
Amen. You have to stop shooting BBs through the car windows before I give you a 22.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
But see, if I was the loving parent that this world seems to, then I'd just give them. Is that what you want? Sure. Here, let me buy you two. Let's get a double barrel shotgun while we're at it. Because I love you so much. You see, that's a bunch of garbage, church. That's not the love that our God loves us enough to give us what we need.
That's right. Yeah.
And that's what faith is all about, is we trust God because He's God. Yep. We trust God because He's always right. And He knows what we need far better than we do.
Come on, man. Man, that's right.
I don't like it, preacher. I know. I'm not going to bare my heart to you, but there's all kinds of things I don't like.
Amen.
But that's not the point. The point is I must have faith in God.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes,
and then His grace will take care of my weaknesses, of my needs, of the things that I think I need. His grace is going to... Look, verse 10. Therefore, I take pleasure. That means I'm pleased in infirmities, reproaches, necessities, persecutions, distresses for Christ's sake. Not because I'm living in sin, but for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong.
Yeah.
God says, son, I have a lot of things for you to do. I have a lot of work for you to do. I have a lot of things for you to accomplish. And if you get your head as big as a hot air balloon, then you're going to be worthless to me. And Paul, by faith, accepted God's answer.
Amen.
Amen. Yep.
Which, by the way, was N-O.
Yeah, that's right.
Exclamation point.
Yeah.
No. And by the way, He died like this.
That's right. Yep.
That's right.
Faith is not believing God because He gives us everything we want.
Yeah, come on.
Amen.
Faith is believing that God is able to do what He said. And if He says to you, this is what you need, this is what you need. And He's able to perform and give me the grace that I need to make it through. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me.
Amen.
How do you know he's with you, church? You can't see him. Faith. The evidence of things not seen.
Yeah, that's right.
You know what I need when I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death? I need grace.
Amen.
By the way, I'm just walking through it. I'm not camping out. Amen. I'm not camping out because I'm going to heaven.
Amen.
Anyway, but you see what I'm saying? Faith is what gets God's grace involved in my life.
Yeah, that's right.
It started at salvation. It doesn't stop. It goes the rest of your life.
Amen.
By grace, through faith. Number two, go back to Romans 4. I don't think we're going to get to Hebrews, but that's okay. Faith gets God's grace involved in my life. Romans chapter 4, speaking of Abraham again, look in verse 19. Verse 19, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, but when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Number two, faith not only gets God's grace involved in my life, faith gets me in on God's promises for my life. You understand what this verse is saying now? I think we're all adults here. Okay. You understand that Abraham and Sarah, at 100 years old and she was 90, they had to go home and do what every other husband and wife does before they conceive a child.
Okay.
Now, I'm 100 years old, Lord. My wife's womb is dead. My wife's womb is, she's 90 years old, Lord. All of that natural biological, it's gone. It's done. It's over. You understand that menopause stuff? It's done. It's over. So he had to go home to Sarah, and he had to go into and lie with his wife in order to conceive Isaac. Just like anybody. It didn't just magically appear.
That's right.
And what that is? That's faith.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
Faith. The Bible says he staggered not. Why would the Bible say that right there? Because a 100-year-old man's thinking my 90-year-old wife and her dead, barren womb, who's never had a child in 90 years, you'd stagger too. Like, what do you want me to do, Lord?
Yeah, come on.
But see, faith. He staggered not. He was strong in faith. And he went in unto his wife, and he did what he had to do by faith, and God's promises were they came true.
That's right.
Amen.
Yeah.
See, faith gets me involved in God's promises. I do my part. Even though my part makes no sense to me, I do what I know God tells me to do, and then God does his part, which, by the way, I can't do, but yet he does. And when I trust him by faith. God does what he promises to do, but so many people will never see it.
That's right. Yeah.
Because they're weak.
That's
in
right.
faith.
That's right. Come on.
I mean, I could go. Maybe I will. Maybe I will. I could go right here. I could go right here. Many people will never see the promises of God in their finances because you got to put it in here first.
Amen. That's right, man.
Amen. That's right.
Yes, man. Preacher. Come on, preach it.
You got to put it in here first.
Yeah, man.
Then God says, I'll open up the windows of heaven.
Amen.
Man.
He says, bring me first, then I'll... Now, so if you don't trust God, your faith is weak. Guess what's going to happen? You're not going to get involved in this promise.
That's right. Yeah, come on. Yeah, man.
This promise is just as good for you as it is for anybody else.
Right.
But yet, weak in faith... No promises.
Come on, preach.
God says, not you.
Come on.
That's right.
Not you.
Come on.
Not you. That's really. Now, you say, well, what Abraham? Abraham really had to trust God a lot more. No, not really.
Yeah.
I mean, he was old, but yet he wasn't dead. Amen. That's right, brother. His body was, anyway, this is the same principle. It's the same principle. You know what, again, what's the biggest enemy of faith? Fear. Fear. So Abraham said, well, what am I going to do? I'm going to tell Sarah, I'm going to go home and tell Sarah what, Lord? But see, faith gets me involved, gets me in on God's promises. I like that part.
Yes, sir. Amen.
It's the same. I go back to 2 Corinthians 12 when God said, "Paul, my grace is sufficient for you." Faith is what opened up God's promises to him and gave him the strength that he needed.
That's right.
It's the same principle. Faith is what gets me in on God's promises. And then finally, let me close tonight with this. Look in chapter 4, verse 20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. Notice, giving glory to God.
Amen.
Faith gets God's grace involved in my life. Faith gets me in on God's promises. And finally, faith gives God the glory.
Amen.
Thank you, man.
Abraham couldn't go around bragging about, look, y'all, look at my little boy. Look at my little... Abraham and Sarah couldn't go around bragging about, look, y'all, look at my little boy. No, look at what God did.
Yes.
Look at what God did when that boy was born, and they're shaking, you know, they're cradling that little boy. And by the way, his name means laughter. They were laughing so hard. They were so full of joy.
Yeah. Right.
But see, joy didn't come until after they did what they were told to do, and then they gave God the glory, and then God rewarded them with laughter, joy, and happiness.
Come on in.
Amen.
But not right away. Not right away.
That's right.
Not right away.
Yep.
And when they were cradling little Isaac, and Sarah's grinning from ear to ear, and Abraham's walking around with his chest out, you know. You just thought I was 100. I'll show you what a 100-year-old man can do. No, they didn't. They didn't do that. They gave God the glory.
Amen.
They said, look what God did. And see, when you trust God and you do what God says, and you are, and it's completely basically out of your hands what happens after that. All you have is His word on it.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
Listen, that's all you need.
Amen.
That's all you need. Now, you can go through life with no blessings. You can go through life trying to do it all yourself. And that's what most people do because of fear.
Yeah, come on.
Amen.
Yeah. Or you can be like Abraham and realize, well, God said it. And notice, remember, don't forget, verse 21. He was fully persuaded.
Yep.
Yeah.
That what he had promised, he was able also to perform.
Amen. That's right.
That was before it happened.
Yep.
That's right.
That was before it happened. I want to show you in Acts. Look over in chapter in Acts 27. Acts 27. Let's jump down to verse 18. Acts 27, verse 18. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. There, Paul is on ship as a prisoner, and boy, they're in a world of a storm. And the third day we cast out, in verse 19, with our own hands the tackling of the ship, and neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us. Notice this, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. All hope. Everybody on that ship was just expecting to die. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me." See? He said, "I told you so." Amen. He said, I told you so, but not loose from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now, verse 22, he says, now I exhort you to be of good cheer. There's one person on that boat who wasn't expecting to die.
Yeah, that's right.
Everyone else was just holding on for the end. Right. They were going to die.
Yep.
I exhort you to be of good cheer. For there shall no loss of any man's life among you but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Saying, fear not, Paul. What's the number one enemy of faith?
Fear.
Fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Now, wait a minute. Don't look any further yet. You know the story, but listen. All that was a promise.
That's right.
All that was a promise.
That's right.
A promise in the middle of a storm that everybody, all the professional sailors, all of the tackle had been thrown off overboard. Everything and everybody was just waiting to die.
Yeah, come on.
And all Paul had was a word of God.
Amen.
Yep.
That's all he had. And he came to me and said, be of good cheer. God has told me we're going to make it.
Amen.
Look in verse 25. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. He says it again. For what? What does he say?
I believe God.
Amen.
And he says, that it shall be even as it was told me. Now, he's the only one on that boat that's believing God. He's the only one on that boat that's not expecting to die. He's the only one on that boat that people are looking at cross-eyed saying, be of good cheer. You understand, we've got no food, we've got no tackle. We've been in this storm for many, many days. We've never seen a storm like this. You say, be of good cheer. Why? Because God told you to.
Amen.
No.
Because the Bible says so.
Amen. Yep. Come on.
Why do you do all that weird stuff? Because the Bible says so. You don't. You man, give me a break. Don't you see what's happening? Don't you see what's going on? Don't you see how we're supposed to act? Don't you see we're supposed to... Don't you see... And there's one man on that boat that said, you know what? I don't care what you see. Amen. I know what God said.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
That's faith.
Yes, man.
Yeah, that's right.
I believe God. Why? Look what it says in verse 23. Because I am His and I serve Him. He says, whose I am and whom I serve. What does that mean? He said, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you think.
Amen.
I am His and I serve Him.
Amen.
And He's done this for me before, and He'll do this for me again. And if He says it, I am fully persuaded that He is able to perform that which He has promised.
Yes. Amen.
And you know what, by the way? They all survived.
Amen.
Fully persuaded. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse. Let's just look in verse 11. 2 Timothy 1:11. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher. This is Paul again talking to Timothy. And an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. He says, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Now wait a minute. Wait, if you just stop right there, what he just said was, I'm suffering because I'm a preacher and an apostle and a teacher that God has made me.
Amen.
Now, and he says, and that's exactly what's happening. He says, I'm appointed of God to be a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher, and I am suffering.
Amen.
Well, amen.
Amen.
Suffering. But there's a big word coming up. Nevertheless.
Yeah, you might.
I'm not ashamed.
Yeah, that's right.
Man, we've got a lot of ashamed Christians. They're just ashamed to call themselves Christians. They're ashamed to read their Bibles in public. They're ashamed to hand out gospel tracts. And they haven't suffered at all.
Yeah, come on.
Man, this is convicting. He says, nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. Why, Paul? Because I know whom I have believed.
That's right.
He didn't say, because I believe His Word. He said, because I know Him. Because I know Him. And I'm persuaded that He's able. Why am I persuaded that He's able? Because I know Him. Are you with me tonight? Yeah. I'm persuaded that He's able. I'm not ashamed of Him. I don't care if I suffer.
Yeah.
Somebody needs to tell Benny Hinn that.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I don't care if I suffer. Because this is my appointment.
Yeah.
Listen, this is what I'm appointed. This is my appointment. This is my assignment.
Yeah.
This is God's will for me.
Amen.
So I don't care if I suffer. I'm not even going to be ashamed of the fact I'm suffering. That's what he said. You know, we are so pitifully weak.
Yes. Right.
Weak.
Yeah.
I think sometimes God, I mean, thank God for His mercy. I know. Trust me, that's the only reason we're not consumed.
Right. Yeah.
But you know what He does is He puts people through this kind of suffering that He knows He can trust. Because not everybody will stay faithful.
Yeah.
But He also puts people through this kind of suffering and testing that He knows aren't going to make it, and He's purging them.
Yeah.
That's right.
Amen.
Because He purges.
Mm-hmm.
That's what John 15 says.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I'm not ashamed. I know Him. I talked with Him this morning.
Amen.
He talked to me this morning.
Amen.
I've walked with Him. I've cried with Him.
Amen.
I've rejoiced with Him.
Amen.
I've hurt with Him. I'm not ashamed of Him.
Amen.
Because I'm suffering. It's my appointment. It's my assignment. If this is what He wants me to do, this is what I need. Therefore, I'm not ashamed because I know Him.
Yeah, he's right, preacher. Come on.
Because I know Him. I know Him.
Amen.
I know He loves me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to doubt Him. All I got to do is look back to the cross.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to doubt Him. I'm not going to run out on Him. I'm not going to be ashamed of Him. I'm not going to fear what man can do to me.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I know whom I have believed.
Yeah.
And here's that word again. Because I know Him, I'm persuaded that He is able.
Amen.
Hmm. Faith has nothing to do with God, with what God's doing or not doing, church.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
It has to do with who He is.
That's right. Amen.
And if you don't know Him, that's why you don't trust Him. If you don't know Him, that's why you don't trust Him. But if you'll stop looking at what He's doing or not doing and look to Him.
Yes.
Yeah.
He hasn't changed.
Come on. That's right.
Yeah. Come on.
He hasn't changed.
That's right.
Father, that's the message tonight. Lord, we need more faith. We need to know you better. God, we all need to be honest with ourselves and admit, Lord, that we need to draw closer to you. Lord, you're calling us unto yourself every day, everything that goes on in our lives, Father. You're saying, look to me. Look unto me, all the ends of the earth. For I am the Lord, and there is none beside me. Lord, you're crying out to your people, look unto me. Father, I pray for increased faith in all of our hearts. And now we know why Jesus said, when I come back, will I find any faith on the earth? Lord, I believe he's looking for us to simply trust him. You're wanting us to simply trust you. Lord, we're going to suffer. Yea, all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. God, help us to stop running from circumstances and to run to you. Lord, we're all woefully ashamed, Father, of the days that I lack faith, because I know, Lord, it's because I've allowed something to remove my heart from your presence. I've allowed something to come in between me and knowing you like I need to. Bless your people, Lord. Oh, how I love them, Lord. Oh, how I want them to stay faithful to you. Thank you for my family, my wife and my children. Thank you for our church family. Thank you, Lord God, that you live in our hearts. But Lord, so few of your children really know you. They just won't spend time with you, Lord. They just don't really understand that without faith it's impossible. Please help us tonight. Please bless your word. Please bless your word, Father.